from sin. You cleanse my soul from sin, said the Holy Ghost within, Son of God. What a wonder you, Holy Ghost, what a comfort you are. Holy Ghost, what a comfort you are. Holy Ghost, what a comfort you lead us, you guide us. You lead us, you guide us, you live right beside us. Holy Ghost, what a comfort you are. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Thank you.
the enemy I have seen, I've overcome by the blood of the Lamb. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. Because the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus takes away all the fear from my heart. Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Father. Praise God.
Oh, thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for the word that you want to speak to us with, your word. Father, we're told that faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God. And Father, I pray that, Lord, as we partake of your word, our faith will be quickened. Our faith will embrace all the promises that you have given us, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, through your word, also those signs that follow of healing, deliverance, salvation. Lord, I pray that we will be mightily blessed and you will be mightily glorified now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I want to speak about the inner workings of the Holy Spirit, how God works in our life. And for those of you who take a title, write it down. We're calling this today, the baptism in the Spirit is to work hunger, or to work spiritual hunger. So the baptism in the Holy Spirit is to work that hunger in you and I. And what is this hunger? It is a hunger for God, for Him. Relationship, wanting Him, putting Him first in everything. It's not first and foremost a hunger for the Word of God. Now, all of that is part of it. It's not a hunger for fellowship. All of this should be the results of hungering, which the baptism of the Spirit should do, but it is a hunger for God Himself, relationship. And when you embrace that, you embrace everything that is involved with that hunger, which of course is the Word of God, is fellowship, is prayer, walking in faith, obedience, all of those things. But it ultimately comes in hungering for Him and Him alone, which of course is the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being. The whole of you is to love and put Him first. And of course, we are basing that from something very familiar in Matthew 5 and verse 6, which says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, if you are aware to ask many believers what it is to hunger, you would be actually quite surprised at the answer that you would get if you asked many professing believers, Christians, what it is to hunger. I think you might be surprised at the answer. Because their idea of hungering for God which we have just read here in Matthew 5 and verse 6. Their idea, or many of them, their idea for hungering for God is actually around the area of being busy. Busy with church activity. Just busyness. Helping out with the church. Helping out with the preaching. Helping out with counselling. Helping out with the admin. Helping out in keeping the church clean and all the various duties that are needed. And those duties have a place. They're even needed in this assembly. But that is not hungering that is spoken of there. And sadly, it's often just a mere shallow consecration and commitment. And because they have this idea of being busy, 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 which is hungering for God, busy in evangelism, busy in witness, which has its place, but that is not the true hungering that is spoken of here. And so because of that, you see there's this shallow consecration and commitment and very little inward work of the Holy Spirit producing the fruit of the Spirit. And so you see, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there cannot be this real hungering for a spiritual work and change. And that's why it doesn't bring a real spiritual growth and development, and certainly not the deeper life. And that is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is paramount, is essential to start this work, this process. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit, because Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. And for the fruit to develop, the baptism of the Spirit is essential. Because what the baptism of the Spirit does, it creates the hunger to go deeper with God in fellowship, relationship. That is another reason why you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, to go deeper with God in that sense. And that is why the baptism of the Spirit is to open up the Word of God in order to go deeper. Now, I said at the outset, at the beginning, that the hungering for God is not the Word of God. The Word of God is the means of teaching you, of encouraging you, in which to go deeper with God. Because it's there. It's revealed. But the baptism is the doorway in which you hunger to go deeper with the Lord. And that is how it works. And many professing believers just do not see it in that way. This is why they don't embrace and experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because all these things that I bring over the pulpit are ultimately to be experienced. It's not just a mere teaching and theology. It is to be experienced. And so the baptism has come for you to experience this hungering for God, which is about relationship. And as you increase in relationship, so you become more fruitful. That's exactly what it does. But the Word is essential in order to do that. As it says in Psalm 1 and verse 2, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And we're told what we shall. We were like a tree that's planted by the waters. So you're fed by the Word of God through the work and the baptism of the Holy Spirit that enlightens, opens the Word of God to us in order to create that hungering. Now, what does it say that this hungering is? It says, blessed are those who hunger. This hunger is to create a thirst. Now, a thirst is like an appetite. If you are hungering, if you're hungry, how do you satisfy that hunger? by eating. And what is our eating? What is satisfying our hunger? Precisely why we're here today. This is like a spiritual restaurant. God has brought out the menu. We've come today because we're hungry. Amen. We need feeding. The same as our natural bodies need to be fed, so mother's there, getting the food ready, feed family. And because God's a family man, in that sense, he's brought us together at his banqueting table, and he's prepared a feast for us today. Why? Because we hunger. And what creates that hunger? It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that makes you more desperate and more hungry for more of God. Sorry, that sounds bad in English. I've gone more. But I don't know what else to put it. It's hungering for more of God. And that's precisely what the baptism of the Spirit is to do. And it's what it says here. Blessed are those who hunger. So God says, have you come here today? Are you hungry? Amen. Then you're in for a blessing. Blessed are those who hunger. Because you're going to be blessed, says the Lord. With my presence, my word. And I'm going to satisfy that hunger in you today. But I'm not going to let you go away and be complacent and think, oh, I'm full now, I don't need any more. No, it won't last for long. The same as that lovely meal you had yesterday doesn't last for long. You find your body says, oh, you need to replenish that. So God knows, you see. So the promises to the hungry. And the promises to those who are hungry, he says, you will be filled. You'll be satisfied. That's why, brothers and sisters, I don't need to go running around, looking elsewhere, listening to others to try and fill that hunger. Because God has baptized me into this body, and I am filled for what God wants of me. And I am satisfied when I leave. And I know that God has fed me with his precious manna. And I don't need to go looking elsewhere for any other food where I could be poisoned.
That's right.
Where it's tainted. Yeah. Now, brothers and sisters, if God is big enough and great enough, he's on the throne, and you believe how he presents himself in the word of God, then you should expect that God will feed you that way. And you have no need of anything or anyone else. As I've always said, God in the deeper life teaching is making you your own men and women before him. Amen. That is growth. That is growing up. And you see, the devil doesn't like that. He likes you to feel you're still dependent always on other people, where he can control and manipulate. He doesn't like saints who grow up and are their own people before Almighty God. You see, people, when they see that in a saint, you get criticized. Oh, you think you're one above the rest. You really think, you know, you're it, and that God loves you, and he's different to everybody else. That's how they think. They might not say that, but they think it. It's on the contrary. They thought that about Jesus. That's why the Pharisees and the scribes hated him. Because he didn't conform like they did. He didn't speak the same language like they did. He didn't dress like they did. He didn't go to those synagogues and places like he did, in that sense. And they didn't like him. And it stirred up that jealousy, that resentment, that hate. Is it any different today? No. Of course it's not. As I always keep saying, demons don't change. They don't die. And so, God will fill those who are hungry. Hungry for what? Relationship with the Lord, to go deeper with Him. And so because you want to go deeper with Him, the Word of God, which He opens up to us, is the means that feeds you in order to go deeper with Him. Because God is preparing the bride of Christ, who's now making herself ready to marry the bridegroom. And He's using the Word of God in order to do that, because she's hungry. She's hungry for her lover. She's hungry to get married. She's hungry to be by the side of her husband. She wants him. She wants to rule and reign with him. She wants to work with him. She wants to live her life with him. That's what this is all about. So that's what it is. So firstly, to those who hunger and thirst, you will be filled. They long then for righteousness. And that's the second thing that comes out of it. If you hunger and you thirst, then that's created within you a longing for righteousness. Because you have to be righteous, a right standing before God. As the whole thing is all in vain. What would you be hungering for otherwise? You'd simply be doing it in a religious way. So it's in order that we long for this righteousness. What does it say in Isaiah 55 verses 1 to 5? God was presenting to Israel the same thing that they could have also with him. In Isaiah 55 verses 1 to 5. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. And hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. And so it goes on. See, God was presenting the very same thing to his people that he presents to us today. But they didn't hunger. It just wasn't there. The appetite for God wasn't as it should be. And so God today in his mercy and grace has baptized us in the Holy Spirit that we can now go deeper by that baptism to experience this that he says that we can experience this. He says, those who thirst, come to the waters. And you have no money. And God says, I know you've got no money, but come, buy and eat. He says, I know you're impoverished. I know you can't, nobody can buy this, because it's mercy, it's a gift, it's by grace. And so he says, if you want that, come and eat. Buy this wine and milk without money, without price. Buy that. I don't know what those who hold to that Christians should never ever drink any alcohol or wine. I don't quite know what they do there, because notice in the context of what he says, come and buy wine and milk. Now, it could be used metaphorically, because wine could also make one merry, joyful, as well as it can make you drunk. So he's saying this wine, this milk that you buy without price, without money, is going to satisfy. It's going to put a smile on your face instead of looking miserable. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? What was I saying earlier? To those who are busy thinking that hungering is more church activity, must increase evangelism, must do more works. Missed it. Why do you spend this money For what is no bread? You're searching for bread, the bread of life, what feeds you, but you don't find it because you're so busy. And your wages for what does not satisfy. And it doesn't. These people that are busy, 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 you can see they're never satisfied. And the reason they're never satisfied, they're always going from here, there, this church, this ministry, this teaching, this seminar, and everything, and getting nothing more confused. That's what happens to them. He says, your wages, but they are never satisfied. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. That's maybe what I should have called that this morning. Eat what is good. Because we eat of this word. It's good for us. It's not always palatable. Sometimes it's always got our name and address on it. But God says eat of it. Because it's going to satisfy that hunger, that thirst that brings about righteousness in your life. Gives you a right standing before God. Jesus had a right standing before his Father. Moses had a right standing before Almighty God. All the saints recorded in the Word of God, many of them where God wrought great things through them, that was a sign they had right standing before God. And they had it because they thirst, they hungered more for God. And God filled them. He satisfied that hunger, that thirst. And so a clear sign of a saint who's hungering and thirsting, and God is satisfying that hunger and thirst, a sign of it is the fruit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit tells me they have a right standing before Almighty God. For I see that love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control, and so on. That tells me they stand right before Almighty God. That's their authority. That just comes as a result of that hungering for more of God. What does it say in the final chapter of the Word of God in the Bible, in Revelation 22, verse 17, Revelation 22, verse 17, those that will enter into the New Jerusalem, in chapter 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, let him who thirsts come, whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. All those that will be there are there on the basis because they hungered for it. Had they deserved it? No. Nobody deserves it. Nobody deserves salvation. But they're there because they've responded and they've hungered for it. And as a result, that hungering and thirsting made them righteous, and the righteous are those who inherit the kingdom of God. So it's only the thirsty then that he invites to drink. And before you can be filled with the presence of Almighty God, you first have to see that you're empty. And so, to be thirsty, to be filled, we come here today, you have to realize that there is an emptiness about you that needs filling. The same as when you sit at the table, call, Mum, I'm hungry. I can't wait for this. And the reason that's coming out, because you are empty. You've got hunger pangs. You want to satisfy that, to be filled. And so God looks for that in the house of God. And for those who come regularly, who come each week, are saying, I'm here today, Lord, because I'm hungry. And I want filling. And I want more of you. He loves that. That is healthy. That is someone who's growing. You know, mother and father want children that sit at that table who've got an appetite. That's a sign they're healthy. That's a sign they've got good health. Because they're going to be fed. How much more spiritually when we look at this? So we're filled with God, but you first got to see that you're empty. And so we're here today because we're empty. And we've got a thirst. And we've got filling. And God says, I'll fill you if you want it. I'll fill you full. And it'll last you for the week until you come back next week. Because that's what it is. This is the blessing of fellowship. This is the blessing of the body of Christ. This is what it's all about. And if you have let go or you have lost that simple principle that keeps us coming week after week, then all I can say to you, get back to your first love. Because that's what it's about. That is what it's about. And you see, this filling isn't to become more busy and religious. This filling is so that you seek righteousness for its own sake. And because you seek righteousness for its own sake, it will be rewarded. And what is the reward? The fruit of the Spirit. The presence of Almighty God, in other words. You see, you're not going to satisfy that hunger by looking for a quick fix or eating this spiritual junk food that is around today. There's so much today on junk food that people eat, and there's a lot of it, but why is it that Christians are not more concerned about this spiritual junk food that is given out week after week? Can you really hunger for that? Can that fill? You know, one of the things they've found is that this junk food doesn't actually fill you the same as good nutritional food. It actually passes through the system much quicker because of its whole nature. Let's take, for example, bread. Bread is one of the fundamental diets that we eat, used often in the Word of God. Now, today, didn't probably used to be years ago, but today, there is bread and bread. Now, a lot of bread that you see, if you cut it or slice bread, put it in your hands and fold it tight. And it goes into like a pappy ball. So that tells you that a lot of that air was pumped. A lot of that bread was actually pumped with air. That's what they do. Now, you get a good, well-made bread, wholemeal bread, and you get that in your hand, and you do the same, and you will find that when you open, a lot of it springs back. It hasn't pulped down. It might have broken up a bit, but it still looks like bread. Now, what is that doing to you? That is sustaining you when you eat that. And we wonder today why people have weight problem like they do. Because they eat this sort of stuff that's supposed to be low in calorie. You can eat this low in calorie bread. But it's like a puff of wind. The body is not sustained by it. I know some of these women who are on diets. I've got some of them as students. And they're always hungry. And they're always sort of, oh, I'll just have a pick, you know. And you can see their hunger isn't satisfied. They're tormented by this, to try and keep these thin figures. And I've said, why don't you eat? That which sustains is going to fill you, so that when you've eaten it, you feel, yes, I've really eaten something, and it's going to last you twice as long in keeping you full than this junk stuff that you eat, you're thinking you're losing weight by. A lot of it is common sense. It's common sense. Everything you eat has got calories to it. It's the way you implement those calories. It's the way you eat those calories. And a lot of this stuff, this junk food, will pass through your system much quicker, and it doesn't sustain. It is a fact. You can look it online. You can talk to dietitians, and they'll say amen for what I'm saying. It is a fact. So that is the sort of bread that we have around. If you want bread to sustain you naturally, then buy good bread. Mm. Buy good bread, as simple as that. And enjoy it. Yes, it's got calories, but it's going to last you much longer, whereas that other bread that you're eating that's probably only got 5 calories less, and that's all it generally has, in the end you're going to eat far more of that to try and sustain. Defeats the whole object. And this is why we have the problems that we have today. I believe a lot of obesity has come about because they eat these inferior foods. And they're very addictive. They've got chemicals, drugs in them, addictive things that you crave for more and more, you see. And you talk to people who have this obesity problem, they will tell you, it's like I'm on a drug. I've just got to keep eating it more and more. And then, of course, it becomes comfort food. Because then this rejection, this low self-esteem starts to come in. And so the only thing you can do is to lock yourself away and just comfort yourself in binging. It becomes a vicious circle. The whole thing. I know I've got on that, I'm sure. But, it's coming back to hungering and thirsting. You can see that happening spiritually, can't we? The same type of thing with our brothers and sisters. And then when you say to them, well, praise God, I go to an assembly, I am more than fed, I am satisfied, I love the word that I receive. And they look at you to think, well, who are you to say a thing like that? Why, nobody can ever find that. That is impossible. And you turn around and say, well, I have. Because I believe that's what God does if you get saved. God didn't save me to run round, to go here, there, go to the other side of the world for meetings and bombing around. That isn't what you're saved for. As I said the other day, a brother and sister were going to Canada to get zapped. Going halfway around the world to get zapped. I mean, are you saved for that? It's because they're not being fed. But do they want to be fed? That's the question. That's what you have to raise. Because it says if you want to be fed, then that will create that thirst, that hungering. But those who want to be fed, they realize why they're being fed, because they are aware they are empty. And to be aware that you are empty, it means you have to humble yourself. You abase yourself. You are willing to take up the cross and follow Christ. Because all of that will show our impoverished state. That we are only saved by grace. And because of my very nature, my very dependence on God, I therefore to stand, sustain, and to keep with God, to keep in that righteous state, I need to be fed. And I will be fed. And I will go for it. Because I see there's a hungering within me, and I have to be fed. I have to be filled. But only the humble see that in that way. Because there are a lot who are complacent. The very fact that they go to that church, and the amount of people that go there, and the success of it, quote unquote, that creates a complacency. That because you are identified to that, therefore the whole setup will get me into the kingdom of God. That's nothing but denominationalism. That is nothing to what the Roman Catholics hold to. And what does it breed? A complacency. So it's the church that will get me into the kingdom of God. And so you've got this shallow commitment and consecration. And that's why the Bible shows it, that type of worship is harlotry in nature. It's idolatry. Because they have no real hungering and thirsting to be righteous before God, to have that right standing. They take it for granted. So you're not going to be satisfied or satisfy that hunger by quick fix-it foods. Or even listening to a lecture. You won't necessarily... You could come here, and many have. Many can listen to the teaching here. Many can know about the chemistry of water. They know all about the chemistry of water, but they don't understand the water that feeds, that washes spiritually. They can know all of these things. That's why it takes the anointed word of God, which can only fill us with his righteousness. And that is why you are baptized in the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit has come to take you deeper with God. It creates that hunger, that thirsting. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, opening up the Word of God, giving us the revelation of God's Word, shows us that we need to continue to maintain that right standing before God, which is called relationship. And that is what relationships are built on. People who come together in relationships, we're all in relationship together as brothers and sisters, husbands and wives who come together as man and wife, that unity, that bond, has to be maintained and kept. Doesn't it? It just doesn't happen. You have to work at it. Both have to meet halfway, you see. You're sustaining and keeping alive that relationship, that love, that unity and oneness. It has to be fed. And it's fed by commitments. It's fed by love. It's fed by working at it. We spiritually have to continue working at this church. Working at our fellowship. Being together. It just doesn't happen in that sense. But the basis for any of this, the basis for this church to go on, can only happen by the fact that we hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's got to be the hunger. There's got to be the thirsting. As it won't work. That's why marriages fizzle out. Because no longer they're thirsting, the hunger's there anymore. Therefore you've got no basis on which to build on. It's not there. They say the chemistry isn't there. And so it's the same with our walk with God. And that's why God's kept us still in this world as sojourners, pilgrims passing through. I think he's allowed that to find out whether we really want it or we don't. We really want him, the kingdom of God, or we don't. And the only way that you know, he will know, the devil will know, everyone will know, is by keeping us still here in this world as sojourners, overcoming. Because see, God doesn't want anyone entering into the kingdom of heaven who are not sure. The not sures will not enter. And so we have a chance in this life, coming today a meeting like this so that we can be absolutely sure we know what we want. Because once you put your hands to the plow, there's no turning, looking back. It's discipleship, not abandonship. And so this precious anointing, the word that feeds us, that works that hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We're here today because we're hungry. We need feeding. And I trust we've all been fed well, and we will leave this banqueting table that the Lord has set to us today satisfied, glorifying Him, thanking Him for that lovely meal that He has preciously presented and placed on that table. Because that's what you do to the host, don't you? That's what you do to somebody who's cooked enough, that lovely meal. Thank you, that was a lovely meal. I enjoyed that. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we've enjoyed it today. Thank you. Thank you that you are the master chef. You are the master cook. You never get your menu wrong. It's delightful. It's good to the taste. It works life in us. It sustains us. It keeps us. It keeps us in a righteous stand before your holy presence. Lord, I thank you for this. And Father, thank you that we have that hungering and thirsting within our hearts. Never let it go out like a light. Let us hunger for more and more, because that righteous stand that we have with you is the fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus said, you will know them by their love. And I am convinced and believe with all my heart that that righteous stand will also show the world in the last days the greater works that are on the horizon. And so, Lord, I thank you today again for our fellowship, our sharing. I pray you'll bless all. Bless all of our brothers and sisters who have come online today to share, to participate. May they too be blessed through the week. Father, keep them hungering and thirsting for more. Preserve and keep them, seal them by the blood of the Lamb until we assemble again, because we ask this in Jesus' name.
For all you've ever done for me, I want to thank you.
in me.